Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Minor Hawk introducing you to another radio broadcast of the Voice of the Gospel. Yes, this is a non-denominational, Christ-honoring gospel radio program that has been on the air now since March the 4th, 1956. Now friends, let's open the broadcast today with a lovely tune. It's one of my favorites, and it's entitled, My Redeemer. Today for everyone who can say of a truth that they've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thine unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today, and we trust that the Holy Spirit of God will do his work in conviction and conversion. Save souls, for we ask it in the name of him whom thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, friends, today, those of you who have your Bibles handy, I'll be reading from the prophecy of Jeremiah. Jeremiah's prophecy, and I want to bring before you five questions that we read of in Jeremiah's prophecy relative to the preaching of the gospel. The first is found in Jeremiah chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 22. For though thou wash thee with nitre, and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord God. How canst thou say, I am not polluted? How canst thou say, I am not polluted? And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His Word. Well, friends, as you well know, there are no doubt thousands of questions in the Bible, the Word of God. And they're all significant, or they wouldn't be there. I think of one of the very first questions we read of in the Scriptures, and it's a question that is asked by God when He was looking for Adam, when He was hiding amongst the trees in the garden. In Genesis 3 and verse 9, here's what God says. Adam, He says, where art thou? Where art thou? Now that's a solemn question. And friend, I would ask you that same question today. Where art thou? Now I'm not speaking about where you are physically. It's obviously you're at home, or perhaps at your place of business, or riding along in an automobile, or something like that. But I'm asking you where you are in the sight of a holy God. In other words, where are you spiritually today? Well, you're either saved through faith in the blood of Christ, or else you're unsaved, and you're still on the broad road going down to the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Yes, it's a solemn question. Where art thou? We read of two questions in Isaiah 33 and verse 14. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with the everlasting burning? Tell me, friend, those of you who are listening out in Radio Land today, how many of you are going to spend all eternity weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth? Oh, I hope none of you, my friend, for God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then I think of the question that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself asked over in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42. What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ? Well, friend, the answer you give to that question is going to determine your soul's eternal destiny, either in heaven above or down in hell below. I think, too, of the question He asked of the religious leaders of His day. And I believe if He were here on earth today, He could ask them the same question. In Matthew 23 and verse 33, here's what He says. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Yes, religious though they may be, the leaders today of many of so-called world religions are going to end up in hell. They'll never escape. And God, through His Word, tells us, how can we escape the damnation of hell? Well, friend, there's only one escape, and that's through faith in the shed blood of Christ that flowed at Calvary's cross. The writer to the Hebrews asks the question, or rather makes the statement, you might say in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? No, my friend, there's no escape. You're either going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and go to heaven, or you're going to go on down the broad road to the place that Jesus Christ calls hell. Now then, getting back to our scripture today, Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 23, we have the question, how canst thou say, I am not polluted? Tell me, friend, how can you say today that in the sight of a holy God, you're not polluted? Why, friend, we were born polluted. We were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity, according to Isaiah 51 and verse 5. Again, we read in Isaiah 58 and verse 3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And in Isaiah 48 and verse 8, we read, man is a transgressor from the womb. Friend, it doesn't make any difference who your mother, grandmother, great-grandmother, or you go all the way back to Adam and Eve. It doesn't make any difference, my friend, about your genealogy. We are all born in sin. We all have a sinful nature contrary to God. In Job 14 and verse 4, the question is asked, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. No, my friend, I was born unclean because my mother was unclean. And she was born unclean because grandma was unclean. And as I say, it goes all the way back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. In Romans 5 and verse 12, we read, wherefore, as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Job chapter 15, beginning at verse 14, we have some very significant words. What is man that he should be clean? Or he that is born of a woman that he should be righteous? Yea, the heavens are not clean in God's sight, and how much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. Friend, you and I, in our unregenerated state before a holy God, we can sin just as we can take a drink of water. It comes natural to us. Now someone might say, wait a while, do you mean to tell me that a holy God in heaven, as he looks down from his throne, doesn't see me trying to do the best I can? Why, I've been baptized. I've been confirmed and dedicated. I belong to a church. I sing in the choir. I teach Sunday school. I try to do the very best I can to my fellow man. Friend, listen, I'm not trying to tell you anything. I'm here today to tell you what the Word of God says. And in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, here's what he says. Ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and ye all do fade as a leaf. Yes, that's the reason we have death. It's because of sin. And friend, you and I are staring death in the face today because of that three-letter word, S-I-N, sin. Unfortunately, a lot of people today, and I don't doubt what there are some of you listening in today, you don't realize what you look like in God's sight. So that's the reason he asked the question here in Jeremiah 2 and 23. How dare you, he says. How dare you say that you are not polluted? Friend, in Isaiah 1 and verse 6, we read that from the soles of our feet to the very top of our head, there's no soundness in us. No, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, which have not been bound up, nor closed, nor mollified with ointment. Friend, if you want to see yourself as God sees you today, you turn to Romans chapter 3, and beginning there at verse 10, you read those 14 indictments given by God against all mankind. He says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps or snakes is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's it, my friend. 14 indictments given by God against all mankind, regardless of who you are or where you are. In fact, he gives a grand summation in that same third chapter of Romans at the end of verse 22 in chapter 3, as well as in verse 23. Here's what he says. For there's no difference. Did you hear that, friend? For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, perhaps someone's saying, well, listen, God knows my heart. He knows I have a good heart. Friend, if you could see your heart today as God sees it, you would keep it covered. And you wouldn't mention it. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7 we read, For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. And here in this same prophecy of Jeremiah, in chapter 17 and verses 19 and 10 we read, The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins. Friend, if you want to know what's in your heart, you listen to what Jesus Christ himself says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blaspheme. Yes, and I believe you could have added a lot more. And regardless of the fact that you go to your place of worship every Lord's Day, I believe it could be said of you, some of you listening in today, from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark 7 and verse 6, These people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now then, I want to turn to Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 7. And here we have another question given by God. How shall I pardon thee for this? How shall I pardon thee for this? Friend, the fact that you're polluted and corrupt in God's sight doesn't mean you've got to stay that way. No, he asked the question, how shall I pardon thee for this condition? Well, thank God we're told in Nehemiah 9 and verse 17, Thou art a God ready to pardon, slow to anger, gracious and merciful, and of great kindness. Yes, thank God, even though some of you are going on in your own way, down to a lost sinner's hell today, in rebellion to the word and will of God, thank God he's a pardoning God. In Isaiah 55, beginning at verse 7, we read, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now you notice, it's God that does the pardoning. You don't pardon yourself. He says, "How shall I pardon thee for this?" In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, we read, "There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." Yes, you may have your own ways and your own ideas, but my friend, the quicker you get rid of those ideas and your ways, the quicker you'll listen to God and be saved by His sovereign grace alone. Some I know are listening in, and you honestly believe that your so-called good works will get you to heaven. Well, the Word of God says just the opposite. In Titus 3 and 5, we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, He saves us." In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we're told, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No, my friend, you'll never get to heaven boasting of your so-called good works or religious activities. In Romans 4 and 5, we read, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." How are you made righteous in the sight of a holy God? You must have faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. And yet I don't doubt but what there are some of you listening in today, and you're saying, like some of those did in Job 21 and verse 14, "Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways." Friend, the way to salvation, the way to God's heaven, is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in John 14 and 6, "I am the way." Not one of the ways. He says, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Again in John 10 and 9, He declares, "I am the door." Not one of the doors. He says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And Peter tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 that neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Friend, the only thing I'm depending upon to take me into God's heaven today is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I read in 1 John 1 and 7 that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In Hebrews 9 and 22 we read that without the shedding of blood there is no remission for sin. So, friend, whether you like the idea of bloodshed as a means of gaining your salvation and entrance into God's heaven or not, it doesn't make any difference. It's God's way. In Romans 5, verses 8 and 9, we read how that God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So that's the way it is, my friend. Whether you agree with the Word of God or not, it doesn't make any difference. You can hide your head in the sands of unbelief and say, "I don't believe it," but that will in no way detract from the truth of God. The only way you can be pardoned in the sight of a holy God for your rebellious, your corrupt, and polluted spiritual condition in His sight is to place your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ alone. Now then, the third question is found in Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 19. "How shall I put thee among the children?" God says, "How shall I put thee among the children?" In other words, He wants you no longer to be a child of wrath or disobedience or a child of the devil. He wants you to be a child of His. And you know there's only one way you can become a child of God. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 11 how the Lord Jesus Christ came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power or the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. How do you become a child of God? You receive by faith alone the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, John chapter 3 and verse 3, we have that significant statement made by the Lord Jesus Christ to the religious Pharisee named Nicodemus. He says that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now tell me, my friend, in the fear and presence of God today? Have you ever been born again? If you say no, or if you say I don't know, then it's obvious you've never been born again. And if you say, yes, I was born again when I was baptized, then let me hasten to tell you, my friend, that there are millions of souls down in hell today, and they're crying for the water they were baptized in. No, my friend, if you can be saved by baptism, or any other such religious ritual, or so-called good works, then tell me, why did Jesus Christ die the shameful and ignominious death of Calvary's cross? You know, we read in Galatians 3 and verse 23, 3 and verse 26, ye are all the children of God, how? By faith in Christ Jesus. That's how I became a child of God back on June the 2nd of 1952. And if you're truly a child of God today, you were saved through faith in the blood of Christ alone. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 23, we read that we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now perhaps there's someone listening in and you say, well, my mother and father were Christians, my grandparents were Christians, and maybe other relatives were Christians. Friend, remember this. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And he wants you to become a child of his today. In 1 John 3 and 1, we read, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Yes, you can become a child of God if you'll accept the love, the mercy, and the grace of God expressed in the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross. Now for our fourth question, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12. And we'll read the last part of verse 5. Jeremiah 12, and the last phrase is there in verse 5. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Now, I don't have to tell most of you that there are many songs, hymns today, sung especially by the Negro spiritualists, and they refer to crossing over Jordan. My friend, Jordan in the scripture always speaks of death, because back in those days, the river Jordan overflowed, and there were countless thousands who died in the flood. Tell me, my friend, since the river Jordan speaks of death, and God asks the question, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Friend, how will you do when it comes to the day of your death, which could be today? You know, there are 90 people that die every minute, 5,400 every hour. 130,000 die every day, and 47 million every year. And friend, it's only the grace of God that you're not counted amongst those solemn and dread statistics. And the sad part about it is, there are so many of these people that are dying, and they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're going down to a lost sinner's hell. In Matthew chapter 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount by the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he says in verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, because wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, not I, but the Lord Jesus Christ says there's a broad way, and many people going down the broad way to hell, and yet in contrast we have the narrow way, and very few are going to heaven. Friend, let me ask you today, how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? If you were to die today, where would your soul be? You know, we read in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, we're told in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 14, behold, or pay attention, behold thy days approach that thou must die. Friend, why not consider your latter end? Stop for a moment today and consider where you would be if you were to die. Where would it be? Heaven or hell? Now for the last question in Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 21. Jeremiah 13 and verse 21. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Friend, if you were to stand before God today, at the great white throne, what would you say? You know, we read in Romans 3 and verse 19 that every mouth shall be stopped. In Romans 1 and verse 20 we read, you'll be without excuse. Friend, you'll have no reason, no excuse whatsoever for not being in heaven. You're given an opportunity today which might be your last. Your very last chance, my friend, might be today to accept Christ as your Savior. But there's judgment ahead. Yes, death is not the end of it all. You're going to go over Jordan, all right. But, my friend, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going down to hell. In Hebrews 9 and verse 27 we read that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Are you prepared for the judgment, my friend? In Amos 4 and 12 we read, prepare to meet thy God. Are you prepared to meet God? Well, you may not be prepared to meet God, but I want you to know that God is prepared to meet you. In Psalm 9 and verse 7 we read, the Lord hath prepared his throne for judgment. And my friend, you might be too proud today to look back to Calvary and see by faith the Lord Jesus Christ dying in your guilty room and in your stead. But there's going to be a day when you're going to look into his blessed face. In John 5 and verse 22, here's what he says. The Father judgeth no man, but he hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So that's it, my friend. You're either going to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again through faith in the blood of Christ alone and go to heaven, or else you're going to reject God's offer of love and mercy and grace expressed in his Son, Jesus Christ, and you're going to weep and wail and gnash your teeth throughout the endless ages of all eternity. Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, to acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul, then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time and for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, we ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Even now, may there be men and women, boys and girls listening in, accepting Christ as Savior and Lord, for which we'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, P.A., that's here in the United States, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.